the first version of the final cut down, even though there will probably be several other versions, happened yesterday. David Bell made the team, the Browns wide receiver. He was a third-round pick. Siaki Ika, a third-round pick, defensive tackle, did not make the football team. Michael Hall ended up on the exempt list. I'm going to talk about Jameis Winston here in a moment.
Countdown to the season opener brought to you by Genesee Brewing Company and Circa Resorts and Casino.
And away we go. Danny Cunningham in for Tone. By the way, two-second trivia. You can win a four-pack of Mr. Hero combo meals. You could be eating waffle doodles, but you have to answer two questions within 2 seconds each. Technically, you get 4 seconds to answer two questions, but they're 2 seconds each. That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
Two-second trivia, 7:45, your chance to be eating some Mr. Hero. I had a waffle doodle 2 weeks ago.
How was it?
Exceptional.
Brilliant. Congratulations on all your success.
Exceptional. It's a little, you got to get used to it at first because you're eating, you know, the bread is waffles.
Right.
But it's exceptional.
The whole time were you eating it, were you thinking about how they were imported from Belgium?
I couldn't believe, I go, these were flown in this morning. I go, what time? They probably are never not in the air flying these waffles in from Belgium. From Brussels, no less.
Yes.
That might get brought up in 2 second trivia. We'll find out. It's up to us. 216-474-0092. Would you trade Jameis Winston? There's a rumor out there that they might be willing to do so. Some people have espoused that it's the possibility of the same thing, the Joe Flacco-ism that we brought up last year. I'm fully convinced that they were never going to bring back Joe Flacco because of the fever of Flacco with the fan base, and they don't want that to put even more pressure on their franchise quarterback. I don't think that that has anything to do with the possibility of Jameis Winston being traded. But the thing is that it just seems to be so nonsensical to trade Jameis Winston that people are going to think those things. So I can't blame them for thinking those things. You asked me, what did you ask me about Jameis Winston? Or how many games
do you need from Deshaun Watson? Because all of us can agree, Deshaun Watson probably not going to play 17 games.
No.
He's shown to be pretty fragile.
15 games. To make the playoffs? About 15 games.
If he gives you 15 games, even if he gives you 14 probably 15. Games. So say he gives you 15 games. I think you can get by with DTR as your backup. I think that is a real possibility.
Why get by with something when I can just have the better player and go out and win?
I think
or have
could,
the better chance to win.
You could win those two games with DTR. I think that is a
but
very
why
real
make
possibility.
Why make my job harder if my goal, and excuse me, my expectation now is to make the playoffs? I'm not interested in next year. How many guys have they signed to big deals if they were worried? How many guys have they traded for if they were worried about next year? If you were worried about next year, you wouldn't have traded for Jerry Jeudy. You wouldn't have signed Jerry Jeudy to a contract. You wouldn't have done any of that stuff. Who cares about? I don't care about next year.
I mean,
I don't care about next year. I care about this year. I care about making the playoffs this year with Deshaun Watson, him showing me that he's the type of quarterback that can keep their head above water.
Sure.
I don't care about this next season and the season after that. I need to get to where I need to go this year. I need Jameis Winston on my football team, Danny.
I don't know that you need Jameis Winston on your football team to do that. I truly don't.
You might not, but why would I put myself in a worse position?
I don't know that it is a worse position because I think there's a better chance. Is there a better chance Jameis Winston can go out and win a game? Sure. There's also a much better chance he can go out and lose you a game because of who Jameis Winston is as a quarterback.
Okay, but I think there's a much better chance that Dorian Thompson-Robinson can go out there and lose you a game. Who's got the better chance to win your football game?
See, I think Jameis Winston has a better chance to win it and lose it because I don't think Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to play as aggressively as we know Jameis Winston plays. Jameis Winston, throughout his entire career, has been prone to mistakes. He's always been prone to mistakes. I don't know that DTR is going to be prone to those same mistakes. I think, and we have seen this with Kevin Stefanski, where he's been able to get the most out of quarterbacks. Maybe he could do that with Jameis Winston, too. I don't know. The results so far have not been great, but I don't know. I think that he can get Dorian Thompson-Robinson the same way he did against Pittsburgh last year to go out and don't screw it up for a game.
DTR still went out there and threw four picks against one touchdown last season. I mean, part of that,
I cannot put any fault on him in that Baltimore Ravens game. I think it's totally unfair to bring up anything that happened in that day.
But I'm still looking at a guy who, he's not going to take the risks that Jameis Winston takes, but he's still going to turn the ball over, and he's still going to put us in a worse position.
Maybe
Jameis
not
Winston
to the extent Jameis does.
Who's the better quarterback overall then, Danny?
Jameis, but I don't
Jameis
think it's
is
like
a better
some,
quarterback. Then you keep the better quarterback.
Gap. I don't think it's some giant gap.
I think the gap's a little bit bigger than you want to admit.
I think Jameis is fine, but I think he makes a ton of mistakes.
Of course he makes a ton of mistakes. That's why he's not a starter. But Joe Flacco also made a ton of mistakes. Joe Flacco was no longer a starter at that time. You had a hot hand. I don't need him for an entire season to where eventually he would get exposed. Like, I think Joe Flacco was probably on the way to being exposed.
Oh, he was.
I don't think that that's the case, but I do think that with Jameis Winston, if I needed him for two games or three games somewhere in there in spot duty, I think he would probably be a much more substantial threat to any defense to have to get ready for than Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
He'd be a more substantial threat. He'd be a more substantial threat to the Browns, too. I firmly believe that.
Oh, gosh. I think he can
go out and win you a game. He can go out and lose you a game by himself.
Of course he can.
And I think that with Kevin Stefanski, Dorian Thompson-Robinson has less of a chance of imploding.
So you'd
that
rather
same
have Dorian, you're just telling me you'd rather have DTR as the backup than
Jameis
Winston.
Not necessarily, but I'm saying I understand looking at trading him away.
Well, yeah, if somebody offers you something silly for him, like, I can't say no to everything.
That's what I'm saying.
But
I'm willing to do that.
I mean, what am I going to get for Jameis Winston right now in a trade?
I don't know. What does someone want to offer you? But you have to be willing to have the conversation, and that's what I've said.
The best,
my argument is I'm willing to listen. Yours is that you're not.
I would listen to something that would probably be irrational for another team to trade him to me for. Like, if someone's going to give me even a fourth-round pick, like, okay, fine, I guess I have to consider that. But no team's going to give me a fourth-round pick
for
Jameis Winston. I do know that.
Maybe.
At least as of right. You said right now, would I trade him right? 216-474-0092. Am I nuts? Would you trade Jameis Winston? Maybe you would. I don't think you would, but let me know. If you were to trade him right now, this is what you're talking about. Because there might be some team out there that has a bad injury, that's a very talented team, that maybe would give you, by the end of the trade deadline, by Halloween, would give you something in the neighborhood of a fourth-round pick. I don't believe it. And if they're willing to give you such a thing, are you then have to think, is the fourth-round pick worth it? Or would Jameis Winston, in case you had to break glass, would he be worth it? Because some team is obviously, that's good, is operating desperately. Because a team that's not good, if they just lose their quarterback, they're not going to go make a trade for Jameis Winston.
Right.
They're already thinking for next year. A team that's good, that's willing to trade that much for Jameis, you have to then turn around right around and say, is this guy worth holding on just in case we have to use him? I think that that would probably be more worth the fourth round pick then, because again, you're trying to do something this year, not in years future.
Right, and I do think that the price today should be higher than if we get to the trade deadline and that needs to happen and the Browns feel like they're in a really good spot.
I don't think I'd give you anything for him right now. I think all these teams
I'm
are set.
No, the price the Browns should want for him today. Not the price other teams would be willing to give up for him today, the price the Browns should want for him today. I don't think a trade's going to happen. I'm saying the Browns should be open to it. If the price is right, they should be open to it. Jameis Winston is not some untouchable.
No, I can't say he's untouchable.
That's what my argument is that I'm fine trading him. He's not some untouchable. If the price is right, the Browns should make that move. There should be nothing.
But I don't think the price isn't going to be right. The price isn't going to be realistic.
Yet. Maybe it is.
From who?
I don't know.
Would you give up a fourth-round pick for Jameis Winston?
I'm not an NFL GM. I'm not a big Jameis Winston fan.
Okay,
but it
so
only
you
takes
wouldn't give
one.
Up a fourth-round. So I need one idiot out of 32 smart people.
Are we sure there's 32 smart people?
I assume there's 32 smart people. They make foolhardy decisions, or their owners make those decisions for them. But they're
I'm
smart
not sure
people.
There's one bumbling idiot, though, in the NFL.
There's
either.
32 smart people, but they don't work for 32 different teams.
We know that there's plenty of people out there who are smarter than NFL general managers, that's true, but it's not like they're stupid idiots. Exactly what Owen said. They're not bumbling around. They're not the guy in draft day calling up in a sweat to Kevin Costner. They're not doing that. You're not going to get a huge price for Jameis Winston, and there's no way I'd trade him right now, considering that we don't know. I mean, there's people sending me DMs. Is he hurt? Is he going to be able to play week one? I mean, talking about Deshaun Watson. There's no way in hell. That's why I can't understand why Jameis Winston is even being talked about as a possible trade.
I'm not saying they're going to trade him right now. I'm saying that if the price is right, they have to listen.
216-474-0092. Let me get to Frank and Garfield. You're first up on the fan. Hello, Frank.
Good morning, guys. Hey, so I think really the only team that would trade for Jameis, this is like a break glass in case of emergency, is the Chargers. Depending on like where they're at in their season, how things are going. You know, they're the only team, them or the Ravens, really. Those are the only teams where I just don't feel comfortable about the backup quarterback situation that they have. Obviously, the Ravens have more to play for this year than what the Chargers possibly have, but they're the only team I really see a possibility of making a trade. As for why the Browns might do this, Andrew Berry has always shown that he has the capability of kind of like showcasing the league what they have and what they're willing to do. He's not shy of making trades. Do I think that they're going to make a trade? No, but I think they're just shopping.
They would have to have, and he hasn't had a great preseason. Jameis didn't. He's playing with twos. I think I could explain that away to myself. He would have to be so terrible behind the scenes, and he's not. I'm telling you, he's not. He'd have to be so terrible behind the scenes.
He's a great locker room guy.
So he'd have to be horrible, he'd have to be horrible behind the scenes for me to consider it. The Chargers, I think, is a possibility. I was saying more for Tyler Huntley, though, Frank. They got Easton Stick right now. He is not very good, but right now you do have Desmond Ridder, who's on the chopping block after he just got cut. You have Bailey Zappe, who just got cut. Who the hell is the other quarterback? There's another quarterback that just got cut that I can't think of right off the top of my head. And if you're the
Skylar Thompson down in Miami?
No. Skylar Thompson, I think, stayed. Matt White got cut. Thank you.
Oh.
Mike White. Yes. Mike White. Not the mayor.
White Mike.
Yeah, there you go. But no, Frank, thank you, because you jogged my memory on that. I think if you're the Chargers, you do have time if you're Jim Harbaugh. I think that they think they can run the football and they don't need to make a huge trade because you're eventually going to have Justin Herbert coming back. Their whole idea was to be able to protect Justin Herbert to make the plays that he needs to make to accentuate what he has. I thought the Chargers before the injury could possibly run themselves into a wild card spot on the ground. I don't think that that's going to be possible with Easton Stick, but I do think that they intend to keep their head above water. I don't think Easton Stick's very good. I thought it might be a situation where Tyler Huntley would go there. I don't think they would give up what it would take for me to give up Jameis Winston, because I need Jameis Winston. I don't think there's anybody out there that thinks that Deshaun Watson is going to play all 17 games this coming season. The old 1 o'clock Saturday, it'll be a hot day for you guys. We do it Saturday at 1 o'clock. Why is that? You guys play over at Bedford, don't you?
No, we play at Cuyahoga Heights now.
No kid.
Yeah, right off 77.
Keep talking. I have to sneeze.
Yeah, we play Saturday at 1 o'clock. Going to be nice and hot out on that turf at Cuyahoga Heights. I think part of it was, so because we share the field with Cuyahoga Heights, they get all the Friday dates that they have. And I don't know that Western Reserve wanted to play a Saturday night because of the travel back after the game. I think they preferred a Saturday afternoon. But that's above my pay grade, making those decisions.
All right, there you go. Okay. Well, you know what? I don't know if we have any Western Reserve listeners, so I'm pulling for the Trojans.
Thank you.
Well done.
I'll see you at the game.
216-474-0092. Also, again, 2 second trivia coming up at 7:45. I feel bad doing this. I almost did it last night. I'm ashamed to admit it. I'm going to admit it to everybody. That we all have friends who they're always down, they're always sad, it's always woe is me, and sometimes you just get tired of it and you need a break, and you'll see that they're calling, you'll see that they're texting, you know it's going to be bad news, you can just avoid the call. And then you feel bad because you avoid the call. It's human nature to do it. It's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
I did that last night with the Guardians.
Because you knew it was going to be bad, you didn't turn it on?
Forced myself. We had no football practice yesterday because of the heat. Well, because once the middle school calls it, then you kind of have to call it.
Sure.
So there was no football practice yesterday because of the heat. The neighbors got the pool and they were like, come on over. We're like, okay. So the whole Carmen clan went over to the pool. Came back about time for first pitch. And it was, all right, you're going to get the remote out. You're going to turn it to 36, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to watch this game. And it was a forced operation for me. And it hasn't been forced all year, because I had a bad feeling things weren't going to go well. I had a bad feeling they were going to tell me bad news. And basically, from the very beginning, they started to tell me the bad news, and I just sat there with my head in my hands. And then immediately, it's almost like your kid dropped something on the floor when the rain delay came, gave me a reason to get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah,
gave me a reason to get out. I feel terrible admitting it. It's the absolute. I can only tell you the truth.
I didn't feel that way at all.
I felt that way.
I was excited to watch Gavin Williams. I was excited to see if they'd pull themselves out of this slump in a game they knew they. It's not no games must win in baseball, but they knew they had to win that game right to stay atop of the Central.
That was an important game.
I thought they
came
out great, and I hated the rain delay, and I stayed up. Hoping that it would get back, and it didn't get back before I went to bed, but I did follow along on the phone as I was laying in the bed.
I'm sorry.
And once I saw that Scott Barlow was now in the game, I said, oh, we've conceded. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I expected, like you, I was excited that Gavin Williams was on the mound, but I kind of expected yesterday to go the way that it went. not in terms of the rain delay.
I'm more excited.
I thought Gavin Williams would pitch well. I thought the Guardians wouldn't be able to hit, because guess what? The Guardians haven't been able to hit for about a month. Gavin Williams pitched well. He made the one mistake that was the two-run home run, but other than that, I have no complaints about what Gavin Williams did.
I'm more excited that Tanner Bibee's pitching today. That's basically where I'm at right now. I tried to get excited about Gavin Williams pitching yesterday. I felt it was a faulty thing, and again, I was having fun with the children. It's a nice hot day outside, getting to run around, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, we're going to go in now. The day is over. The kids are going to get ready and get cleaned up and get ready because they got school tomorrow. So they got to finish up their day. And here I am sitting down, and it's 6:39, and I go, all right, here we go. Time to go through this.
So you went from having a little midweek vacation to we're back in it.
It was, yeah.
Basically
it was
doing chores.
Basically that. It was. And I'm just sitting there watching, and it was like you're on the phone with somebody who you can't, you have to take that call, and they just continue to complain about their ex-wife, or they complain about their job, or we all know somebody who their whole entire language is complaint. Their whole entire language is just something that they get upset about. There's always something that's a bug up certain places, and that's kind of the way I felt yesterday. I feel bad to admit that to everybody.
And that
it
same
was
person,
so good. I was so excited, but I can't imagine there weren't many other people who felt the same way I did. Go
and
ahead.
And that same person never hangs up the phone.
No. Too.
That's the same person you cannot get off the phone.
You keep doing the you know what? And then
they just keep going. Yes.
They just keep it up. And I felt bad doing it. You asked the question at the very beginning. I said, what do you want to do with the Guardians to open up the show? And you said, is it over? And I freaked out. Now, you wanted to amend the is it over thing.
I think the division. Is the division over? Is the hope of this team making a postseason run over? What about that?
What everybody's saying about this team.
Are your hopes of this team going deep into the playoffs over?
I didn't really have an expectation about going deep into the playoffs.
I
thought that there was a possibility.
Did you hope?
Yeah, of course there's a hope.
Do you feel like that's gone?
Yes, if we're talking hope, then yeah, I still hope they can go deep into the playoffs. Yeah.
Okay, you still have that hope and belief
hope,
they can?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't. I have no belief that they can.
Hope and belief are different things, buddy.
Sure. I don't.
Sure. No,
I mean,
that's true.
I hope they can. I have no belief that they can. I have no belief they
okay.
can do what I had
See,
hoped
I,
they could
I,
do.
I don't believe that they
so
can go
for me,
farther
that,
into the playoffs
that's
either.
That's where it's over.
Far into the playoffs, the ALCS?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe that they can go that far either.
If they win the division, I do believe they would get a first-round bye because of where the American League West is at.
But you don't believe that they're going to win the division anymore.
No, I don't. But whoever wins the AL Central is going to get that first-round bye, so getting to the ALCS, I think, is deep. I'm not going to say if they somehow win a wild card series, which I don't have a ton of faith they can do right now either because they can't hit. I'm not saying just getting to the ALDS is some deep run.
See, that's why I'm not willing to go that far because there's still another month left to go into the season. They could still wake up their bats. There's been a lot of things that have just been horrific over this last month. Stephen Kwan, what is Stephen Kwan batting this month?
Stephen Kwan, well, since the All-Star break, is batting 193, I believe is the number.
That's pretty bad. That's not good. But I don't
Sorry,
think
197. I was
okay,
off.
That's
oh,
a
give him
little
some
bit
credit.
Better. Okay.
Yeah, that's palatable.
There's nothing, though, that people are saying which is wrong, though. There's frustrations with the hitting. You're right about that. There's frustrations with the lack of moves. All right, well, that can be explained, but I don't think anybody wants to take that as an explanation. They want to take that as an excuse. And by the way, you guys are right about that. Stephen Vogt has made several mistakes here recently. And I brought up the Eli Morgan stuff the other day. You know, there were people who were upset that Scott Barlow even came out. Like, you just kind of said it right there, Owen. You gave up on him once they brought Scott Barlow out for that baseball game last night. Like, there's not a whole lot of things that he's doing that's inspiring a lot of confidence in the fan base.
Remember all the way that people felt about Brian Shaw for years, and it was unwarranted most of the time.
It's because he had a goatee.
Because he had a goatee. Yeah. This is Barlow has earned all of that. It's the same way I feel that people felt at that time. I was never down on Brian Shaw. I felt like he was an innings eater that came out and gave us
good stuff. You're right.
Scott Barlow, every time he steps on the mound, I go, okay, well, here probably goes the game. Same way that we've talked about Pedro Avila or Pedro Avila.
Avila, depending on who you are.
But it's the same type of feeling that I have. And quite frankly, there's a few guys out of the bullpen that get me there right now, too.
See, Avila is just out there if you have a four-run lead or a four-run deficit, and it's like, all right, we're kind of packing it in here in the seventh inning.
So they've had to pitch him in spots, though, because we've had instances in the last week where Emmanuel Clase went and threw two innings to try to get a win against the Yankees, which they did. They needed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they haven't done anything since then.
Well, it feels
like it's messed up the whole back end of the bullpen, but that doesn't really matter when you're scoring one run a game.
There it is. And I think you're finding yourself in desperate spots to win one game instead of earlier in this last season where you've just been cruising in certain cases.
We don't have a magnifying glass thing right now. We don't have a thing that we can point to and go, there's the problem.
No, because there's a host of them.
There's a bunch of problems right now.
There is a host of them. You're right about that. Even when you have
a opener. We're peeling off the rust, and the rust is showing bigger erosion problems.
But a lot of that is just going back to where they were at the beginning of the season. The rotation was questionable, and that was even with Shane Bieber at the time for a lot of folks, and then you lost Shane Bieber, and it felt like a lot of people were just going to give up on things. Your rotation's been questionable all year long. I mean, some people have made the argument here over the last few weeks that this is maybe the best rotation you've had in quite a while. It's just your bullpen's getting blown up, and your hitting is terrible. But every observation that everybody has is true. Other teams are playing better. The Royals are playing better. They were supposed to play better at the beginning of the year. The Twins, they're kind of botsing around, whatever. But people pay attention to the Royals. Yeah, they were supposed to be better then. And that's why I can't say it's not over. I don't think it's over. It is. It's not good. It's frustrating. But it is not over. To what degree do they go to where I say it's not over? The ALDS. The dream of the ALDS is not over. That's about as far as I can go. But that's about as far as I was willing to go to begin with anyway. Because at the beginning of the year, I didn't think they were going to make the postseason. I thought they were going to finish 82-80.
Right, and I get that. But I do think that you have to adjust your expectations when the team starts as well as they did. And many have,
you're right.
I don't think it's fair to hold them to the same standard we held them to in March. And partially because we had no idea what a team was going to look like under Stephen Vogt. We've gotten used to knowing, you knew what to expect under Terry Francona, who had been here for, 11 years, 10 years, however long it was. You didn't know what to expect out of Stephen Vogt. And then when they get off to such a strong start, and it wasn't a strong start where it was, they were good for a month. They were good through the mid to end of July.
The depressing part of it is that it looks as if, and if you think I'm wrong, fine. It looks as if he is also pressing too. The team is pressing. He was asked whether or not they were pressing. I can play that for you if you want. You want to get that 08 clip for everybody? He was asked whether or not the team is pressing. This is what he had to say.
A little bit. I think everybody presses when this time of year comes. Whether you're in the race, out of the race, it's this time of year where people start to press. And for our guys, I don't see it a whole lot. I think I see a bunch of guys who want to be the guy that steps up and helps their team win.
Including himself. I think he's pressing. I think he's pressing some of the wrong buttons. I think he's starting to get tight. I think he's starting to ratchet. It looks that way with the entire team here. They're all trying to, as he says, they're all trying to be the guy. Mm-hmm. And they all can't be. And we had a caller earlier. Stephen Kwan hitting a bunch of high pops now. Jose Ramirez hitting high pops now. I mean, a lot of guys are trying to hit three-run bing-bongs here to try to get this thing going. And it's not working.
Well, they're trying to do that.
I'm not upset with their effort. I don't think they're falling asleep or anything like that. It's just, man, everything they do just sucks worse than the last.
They're trying to hit three-run home runs with no one on base. That's what they're trying to do. They are trying to win the game with every single at-bat. And you can't play baseball. You can't survive like that in this league. That's not a realistic thing. And that's what they've been doing for a month. And that's why they're hitting 200 as a team in August. That's why they're 10-16 this month. Because they're trying to do too much. They are. And I don't think they've been, to be fair to the players, who very clearly are pressing, I don't think they've been put in the best position to succeed by this front office. I don't think Stephen Vogt has put this team in the best position to succeed lately. I think all of those things contribute to what has been an awful month for this franchise.
Larry in Elyria, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not bad.
Kenny and Danny. First of all, I tell Danny, great job on your podcast.
Well, thank you.
Cavs. You do a real good job with that.
He's
Thank
a very
big
basketball
much.
Fan, Larry, as he means that. I'm
Thank
not
you
kidding.
Very, very much, yes. Larry.
Yeah. Go ahead, Larry.
The baseball situation, you guys are right, the approach. Beginning of the year, they were all, every offensive category, runners in scoring position, on base, everything. And you're right about expand the strike zone. It seems like baseball now, you guys, what they want to do is hit the long ball and basically strike out, that's it. That's why the averages are dropping a lot. But if they get back their approach, line drive, take, make the ball other way, go up the middle, then if the ball's inside, yeah, pull it. But they have to go back to that approach, you guys. That's what they did at the beginning of the year. You're right.
Well, yeah, you've had – I mean, they're just desperate right now. I mean, you're seeing what they've done. And, Larry, thank you very much for the call. It's like when a guy's golf round goes off the rails, you start hurrying things. You start not taking good shots. It's a mess. I know from personal experience, and I suck at it anyway. But you have guys who are up there. Like, again, Josh Naylor. You got guys in running – you got runners in scoring position the other day. You go up there, you take a swing at the first piece of garbage thrown at you, and you pop out on the infield, foul ball to end the inning. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's unacceptable. And I haven't seen the guy have a good at-bat, and I can't remember when. It's frustrating.
It is.
You have 2 seconds, and only 2 seconds to win. This is 2 Second Trivia.
It is time for 2 Second Trivia. Danny, do you know how to take phone calls?
I do know how to take phone calls.
Then you will be the one, since Lima is out, to take the people to make them pay the troll toll for the possibility to win 2 Second Trivia. First, before you take their calls, let me explain again how the game is played. Well, gentlemen, as I talk like this, very weirdly, that you could win 2 Second Trivia and a chance to eat a bunch of waffle doodles or Roman burgers or waffle fries or whatever they might be. You can do that. Well, I said waffle fries.
With an R.
Wafer fries.
Waffer.
Waffle fries. You can do that. If you win 2 Second Trivia, all you have to do is answer 2 questions within 2 seconds each. So technically, you have to answer 2 questions in within 4 seconds, but it's not done that way. You want 2 seconds to answer the first one, then you get the second question, you get 2 seconds to answer that one.
Bank a second.
You can't be banking no seconds.
They don't carry over. No rollover seconds.
No rollovers. What it is what it is. Boy, that'd be something if we added that to it, but that would probably make the game even far worse than what it is already.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
we
Danny.
We definitely won't be doing that.
Do you know how to tell me to take it away and all that stuff?
Take it away.
That's not exactly how it's done. But either way, we'll see how it goes. Go ahead there, Danny.
First up on today's 2 Second Trivia, Matt and Wycliffe. Matt, hello. Are you ready?
Hello. Let's do it.
Home of the Blue Devils?
Yep.
One time I pranked my dad with Liz. We were like dating, and I went, and I was like, hello, this is the devil. And my dad's like, what? And I go, it's Debbie there. And he goes, damn, the devil's on the phone for you. It's like 1 a.m. All right. Here we go. Question the first, man. Where does Danny Cunningham coach high school football?
He's incorrect. He gave the answer. I have him in queue. I can hear that.
What? He didn't say the right.
He didn't say the right one. No. And it wasn't in time anyway.
No.
Ah, tough break for him.
All right, let's get going.
Up next, Adam and Willoughby. Adam, welcome to the show. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Ken, take it away.
What state did Owen most recently visit for a wrestling tournament?
Minnesota.
Better luck next time.
I was in that state,
but
not
it wasn't
for a wrestling
for the wrestling tournament. We do not need the MSN news. We need the call screen. It happens all the time. Go ahead.
Up next in North Royalton, we go to Curtis. Curtis, hello. Welcome to 2 Second Trivia.
Morning, gents. Let's get her done.
Ken, take it away.
All righty. What is the capital of Belgium?
Brussels.
Oh, look at the big brain on Curtis. All right. He's in the barn. You got it. Now you got to do it. You got to shake your head and tell me to take it away.
Take it away,
no,
Ken.
No, you got to go, take it away.
That's take it away.
That's how it goes. All right. Curtis, for your chance to eat Mr. Hero, what new summer blockbuster this year movie did I refuse to watch?
Twisters.
Oh, my God. Quickest we've ever got it. Not the quickest we ever got it, but ladies and gentlemen, Curtis, you have won 2 Second Trivia.
Congratulations, Curtis.
Woo!
Well done. Okay.
What are you doing with your winnings?
I have the con. Let me make sure so I put him on hold. Now we don't mess this up. Curtis, congratulations. Are you going to eat a waffle doodle?
Oh, you bet I am. Absolutely.
They're good, man. I ain't going to lie. Curtis, thank you very much. Curtis in North Royalton, I have put him on hold. He is the winner, home of the Bears, and the winner of the latest 2 Second Trivia winner. Congratulations to Curtis. I got to keep these sheets because I was really left in a bad spot without Tone. No, I have my own sheets here about I was left in a bad spot without the Tone Master General, who's left us in a tough spot because, honestly, I think a lot of people just want to hear from Anthony because he was calling people idiots and morons and losers over the Guardians questions last week. 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago he was getting into shouting matches with people?
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks ago. And now here they are. They're tied in the division. Right now, technically, I mean, Kansas City is leading the division.
They have the tiebreaker.
Because they have the tiebreaker right now.
Yeah.
And you would ask, you know, the whole question of is it over? No, it's not over. But there's a lot of things that are frustrating. And there's a conversation I am desperately trying to avoid. But it's at every turn. At every single turn I go to, I cannot avoid the conversation about the Dolans or the conversation about the front office. It hits you like a punch in the face every single time you turn around. And it can't be avoided, and I won't avoid it. For them in this trade deadline to go back to it, and it's explainable. Danny, it's explainable. I said Danny. Danny, it's explainable. Danny Cunningham in for Tone. They have little in the farm system. They have little in the kitty. It might be easy for us to say, let's go up and give up these players for players who might not be worth it to give those guys up. And you say we haven't won in 76 years. Mm-hmm. That's true. I would say that it would still dime out the franchise. They better win it, because if they didn't, it would dime out the franchise where it would be a completely unwatchable product, and our attendance has never been good enough to say that we could do that and afford to do it after the season were to go kaput in future years. But no fan wants to hear that. No fan cares. Because remember, I'm still not just talking to the general fan who might check in on the Guardians here. I'm talking to all fans here, and it's a blessing to speak to the people who are Guardians First fans. And they don't want to hear about any of this crap. So you owe it to them to try to put the very best product on the field. And it's the same old, same old. And I can sit here and I can tell you guys all about how the Dolans are responsible. They are sturdy. They are stable. They believe in keeping the team in Cleveland when that was ever a question about keeping the team in Cleveland, which, by the way, at 8 o'clock, James Rapine's going to join us, where part of around the AFC North is would the Bengals ever leave Cincinnati because of the whole issue they have with the stadium down there. So there's a conversation to have about that, because I read the Cincinnati Inquirer at 4 in the morning about that this morning. However, they kept the team in Cleveland, and I don't think any fans give a damn, because all they were willing to say, and I had to say this on TV last night, is all that they really see them as are very stable, very sturdy, very civic-minded cheapskates. That's all that they're going to be seen by the general fans. And I can tell you, and I will, I'll say the same thing. David Blitzer will take over this team someday. And when he takes over the team, he'll probably splash the pot a little bit, and they'll go out and they'll sign somebody. But eventually, they'll run it like a business. But all I'm telling you then is that there's no point to watch Major League Baseball anyway, because there's no way that any of those other teams are going to make those major investments. And by the way, the team that we are getting beat 3 out of 4 games on at least right now have made their one major investment just like we have. They invested in Bobby Witt Jr., who's, I think, going to be there for could be up to the next 17 years by the time that contract's all done, or at least 14 years by the time that contract's all done. And we have Jose Ramirez. So both teams have been able to make their both big acquisitions, or both big signings. They've both been able to make their big signings. And then they're hoping that they can build a team throughout that can help those guys. Except Bobby Witt Jr. is obviously a hell of a lot younger than what we have with... Jose's not an old man, but he's younger than Jose Ramirez by far.
So who would you have rather been over the last decade? Would you have rather been Kansas City or Cleveland? Which franchise would you have rather been? Where Kansas City went to 2 World Series, won a World Series, got really bad for a stretch of 3 or 4 years, and now they're
back. The Cleveland Guardians, because I can't imagine having to talk baseball in the city of Kansas City. I'm sorry. I can't.
I would rather have the World Series title. I would much rather have a World Series title.
If you have to deal with
being bad, what's at a certain point, what's the difference between being bad and being mediocre? Because the Guardians have had a handful of years where they've been mediocre. What's the big difference there? If attendance is not good for a mediocre team, it's not going to be much worse. You're still going to get the same diehards for a bad team, except that bad team has a World Series ring from 2015.
I understand.
Cleveland doesn't have that. That's what I want. I'm willing to, if the Guardians go all in and win a World Series, I don't care how long they're going to be bad for after that, because the World Series would have been worth it.
I understand that that is a terrible answer. I can only be truthful with myself. I've had much more interesting Guardians baseball than I feel they've ever had interesting Royals baseball. Ned Yost is a pretty fine guy. I still think that he did not deserve to win a World Series over Terry Francona or anything with the Cleveland Guardians. I know Buster Olney loves this organization, and he thinks that they should be rewarded for it, but baseball is an inexact science. And I would still say that over the course of the last 13 years, I've had a lot more interesting baseball teams with the Cleveland Guardians than I think I would ever have with the Kansas City Royals. I'd hate to have to try to talk baseball in Kansas City. I don't want it just for the entertainment factor. I'd want to win. So I know that that's a faulty argument. I know that 9 out of 10 Guardians fans would rather win the World Series and go suck up the room the way the Royals did until they got to Bobby Witt.
So, and now they're really good again.
And that's why when a fan calls in, and they will, when this thing, if it does go belly up, and I hope it doesn't, when a fan calls in, and this is the conversation Lyman tries to avoid at all costs, and so do I, when they tell me about the Dolans, and we get to the Dolans cheaps part, and I sit there and I talk about consistency and stability, they do not care. They never have. They never will. A team that is 40-something games under 500, or excuse me, out of the lead and was 31 and 100 at last check, the Chicago White Sox still have won a World Series within, I believe, the last 20 years. We have not. It's an upsetting enterprise to be a Guardians fan. I cannot go against it.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.